Weekdays at 10 is the Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue. Now, back to the 3HL on 104.5, The Zone.
HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Our guy Alan Bell joins us for his weekly visit. Always great to have AB on from Sportsline. Sportsline, great resource if you like to occasionally take a dollar or two and wager it on something. If that's your prerogative, Sportsline is a great resource. And like I always say, Alan, if you just like sports, Sportsline is a great resource.
Look at you, man. That's the perfect plug. First off, I appreciate you guys having me back on. And that's the biggest thing is that, you know, obviously we're known for, you know, sports betting, things like that. But if you just like the information, I mean, data, like I'll give you a stat right here we're looking at today. Boom. So there have been 8 quarterbacks in the NFL who have been declined a fifth-year option. All right. All 8 didn't come back to that team the next year in the fifth year. 6 of them didn't take a snap the next year. So, yeah, if you like stats, I mean, we've got that. It's not just gambling. We've got it for everybody.
I feel like that's the Mitch Trubisky rule. I think that's what you that's where we're going with that.
That's exactly what that is. Yeah.
AB, there's a lot to get to just because there's a lot of NFL business right now. 2 big things standing out. Number one, about 2/3 of the teams today have at least some of their employees back in their buildings doing NFL related work.
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge one, right? And I love the way the NFL is handling this. Like, it's not, you know, often that we give them praise in terms of PR and things that they do, but they're handling this perfectly. They're taking it step by step. They're not rushing everyone, you know, a log jam to get back in. They don't have to. I think that's the smartest thing is that it's what, May 19th. Take your time. We don't have to do this, you know, all at once. And let's just be smart about it. And the NFL is handling this just perfectly.
Alan Bell, our guest from Sportsline. The other thing today that, had everybody talking last week, and we'll have, if you get home today or if you're listening to us, you're going to watch SportsCenter tonight or however you consume your sports, looking at your phone, whatever it is. You know, there were some major proposed changes to the Rooney Rule that even got into draft picks and draft compensation.
Extra amendments. There wasn't like Rooney Rule changes, but yeah.
All of that stuff. Ultimately, the draft compensation part did not happen, but a whole lot of stuff about more interviews for minority candidates and something Don suggested last week of just give them another way to learn, just give them opportunities. There's a whole lot more of that creative too. So I know people didn't like the draft. Well, a lot of people didn't like the proposed draft changes, but I think a lot of people are going to like the stuff that they did do.
Yeah, I do too. And, you know, I think Don is absolutely right in terms of, you know, having experience of going through interviews, right? Like when you get, you know, you do your first one, it might not go that well, you know, but you do a second one, you do a third one. I mean, it just helps having that experience, you know. I think the NFL, you know, kind of taking away that rule where teams can block assistant coaches, you know, from having interviews, I think that's a big one. You know, really, this is something that's larger than NFL. It's football as a whole, because it's not like coaches just show up in the NFL, right? Like, I mean, you know, the numbers that we see, you know, kind of reflect some in college, not as much. But, you know, this is something that's larger than just one league, and getting this thing right and doing it in the right and proper way is something that's going to benefit everyone. And I hope that they do. And it seems like they're on the right track to do it.
Well, you mentioned that's a point that Don's brought up a couple times since this news dropped. It was Jim Trotter who did it. But it's interesting because we live and work in a business, and Don stated this very eloquently. You work at a radio station or a TV station, and another station calls and goes, "Hey, I know you're on the radio, you know, from 8 to midnight. You could come here and you could be on from noon to 5. And be a country DJ." Most of the time with our contracts, it's like, not only can you not do that and not talk to them, you can leave here today and not do it for 6 months or a year. So it's an alien concept in this broadcast business, but that's a pretty bold thing in such a competitive league to say, we're going to lift those restrictions. And it doesn't matter what you got going. your guy can go interview, you know, for that next job.
Yeah, it is, you know, and I mean, this is something that, you know, is in a lot of businesses. You know, when you have a non-compete, you know, I know that, you know, our industry, a lot of industries, you know, have that. So, you know, the fact that the NFL is coming around and saying, look, we want to do everything that we can, you know, to ensure that, you know, not only, you know, that they, you know, get opportunities, but they could get experience. You know, as Don was saying, you know, you might not get the job, but, you know, coming back the next year when you have, you know, the experience and the knowledge of what coaches, GMs are looking for, what owners are looking for. I think it's just good for the industry as a whole. And you know, and not even looking at it from a segmented part of coaches, you know, the way that these things go, you know, you might be, you know, a hotshot offensive coordinator and the perfect job for you opens up. Well, you get blocked. That job is going to get hired by somebody, and you might not have another, you know, perfect situation for 5 years. And the way the NFL goes, in 6 months, you might be, quote unquote, a terrible coordinator. You know what I mean? Like, it's just so, like, it moves so fast. So I'm glad that it's just going to be more opportunities for everyone involved.
Absolutely. Alan Bell, our guest from Sportsline.
Real quick, as we're going to head to break and then we can really dive into this, but we talk about Sportsline and all the simulations you guys do, you know, the okay, here's NFL season, NFC North, you simulated it 10,000 times, you know, what have you seen from those? This is how we're getting through, you know, this quarantine, this COVID-19 time until we can actually see more than just Tom Brady in an orange practice jersey, still pictures of him, you know, practicing at a private school. So let's talk about some of the simulation numbers here.
Let's do this on the other side.
Okay.
So Sportsline doing more simulation than Shannon Tweed. We'll get into that on the other side with Alan Bell from
Shannon
Sportsline.
Tweed.
When we return on 3HL.
In the car, streaming online, on our free smartphone app, or on your smart speaker. This is your home for sports. 104.5 The Zone.
Great job, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Alan Bell on with us for another segment. And Dawn asked the question about all the simulation that Sportsline does. Lots and lots of simulation, man. You guys are simulation kings. 10,000 times you played this season that we've yet to play. But that leads to some outcomes that you can share with us.
Yeah, definitely. You know, so first off, you know, just for a little kind of back history, you know, we've done this for a few years now. Last year, we hit about 65-66% of win totals. So it's pretty good. And we went through the NFC North today. And, you know, the percentages to win the NFC North, the Vikings, a huge leader at 48.3%. The surprise is number two is the Bears at 21.9%.
What?
Yeah, that's right. Over the Packers. Packers third at 20.3%. And then to round it out, the Lions at 9.6%. So, yeah, the Bears getting a little love here.
Check the old simulation 8 or 5,000 there.
I think Mickey's not impressed.
I think a cord came loose on that thing, or you need to restart it or something, like when the printer won't print.
The funniest thing was somebody replied, I think they were a Packers fan, somebody replied to the tweet with the gif of somebody just poking a stick at a body to fix this thing. It was pretty good.
Okay. There are several Titans outcomes as well, and I know you had actually tweeted out there was a graphic included among those playing out the season. Titans at 8.5 wins. That was I would take the over on that today if you sent me to Vegas with some of your money, Alan.
You know, I would too. I would take the over on that, and really that number, you know, is not only our simulation, but it's obviously the Vegas, you know, kind of where they put the line at, and it makes sense. I mean, a team that's gone 9-7 for 4 years straight, I mean, you're either going to put it at 8.5 or you're going to put it at 9.5. Yeah. So, like we've talked about, it's all going to come down to really how the Titans start this season out, and then obviously how they finish, you know, with five of the, you know, last seven being on the road. But the Titans, again, man, like, you know, I know that, you know, the no respect type thing, you know, is there? The Titans are a good team, and they're going to be returning almost everybody in an offseason that's going to be truncated likely. I would bet the over on the Titans as well.
Don and I were talking about this earlier. Several betting operations are releasing, you know, prop bets for individual stats. And Foxbet, we get numbers from them in an email several times a week. 21.5 touchdowns for Ryan Tannehill. They had 22 and 10 starts last year. That seems like stealing money. Am I missing something, Alan? Is it one of those things where it's a free lunch and there's no such thing as a free lunch?
Well, I mean, you know, you got to be careful when you see something that you like that much. But no, I mean, with this offense, this is the hard part to predict, is that you have so many talented players across the board. And this offense can be as good as almost anyone in the league. Let's take the Chiefs out because, you know, they're just kind of crazy. But, you know, and I'm not even like, I'm just saying this offense can be as good as it wants to be. But where are the touchdowns going to go? Right? Like, is it going to be the Derrick Henry show again? Is it going to be the A.J. Brown show as we saw after week 10? Is it going to be Jonnu Smith? Ryan Tannehill can run in the red zone. Like, that's the hard thing, not only for Vegas to predict, but, you know, for the Broncos in week one, for, you know, teams, you know, all throughout the schedule, is that you have to cover, everybody. Like, this team has weapons at literally every single position. So I can't wait to see how it goes down.
Another thing that was interesting on that prop list for me was it essentially had A.J. Brown having about the same number of yards, but he had over 1,000 yards last year on 52 catches, which is just absurd that he was 20.2 yards per catch. It was second in the league. Derrick Henry, they've got him dropping from 1,540 in yards to 1,290.5. So a big drop in yardage for Derrick Henry, what, 250 or so. If you're a Titans fan, if you want Derrick Henry on this team, to me, that's not a terrible thing, because that's maybe some less wear and tear, because maybe Darrington Evans is a guy who could take some of that pressure off of him. If Derrick Henry has less yards and the Titans still win, I don't think that's a terrible thing.
No, that's a great thing. That's exactly what you want. You don't want this team to be completely dependent on Derrick Henry, which I'm not saying that it was last year. He just had a monster year. But that's exactly what you want this offense to be. You want it to be balanced. You don't want, you know, one singular player to kind of have to shoulder, hey, I've got to do this. I've got to get this done. Yeah, Darrington Evans could be a guy that comes in and grabs some yardage, grabs some touchdowns. Exactly what you want. A.J. Brown, if he replicates what he did last year. Jonnu Smith, if he does his thing. Like, what you don't want is Ryan Tannehill having to, you know, kind of shoulder everything on him late in games, or Derrick Henry, right? So if this offense can stay balanced, I'm not saying it's impossible to stop, because no offense, you know, is, but it's going to be pretty dang hard, because you don't know where the ball's going and everybody can take it to the house.
Well, you can also week one, or tomorrow, if there was a game, you can trot out 11 people who've started in your system. If you move the Undertaker over in Conklin's place, because he started all up and down that line, the Titans are a team who return both their coordinator. Well, they return one of their coordinators and the head coach who's going to call plays in the same system from last year. So there's that same continuity. But especially on the offensive side, you can roll out 11 starters tomorrow.
Yeah.
11 starters.
It's incredible. And that's why I say, like, the Titans have such an advantage over a lot of other teams. Like, we saw, you know, the Rick Stroud, you know, images of Tom Brady practicing today. Why he has to do that? Because he doesn't know the offense, right? Like, he doesn't know these players. I mean, he's got a good idea. The guy's smart. He's been studying. But he doesn't have timing down with these guys. Like, Ryan Tannehill and this offense are going to have such a good advantage coming into the year. And we talked about it before. But think about this. You look at what the first four games of the year. You've got Broncos, Jaguars, Vikings, and Steelers. Is that right? Like, only one of those teams had a quarterback that started and ended the year as the starting quarterback. So the Broncos have a little continuity with Drew Lock, but there's a lot to go there. Ben Roethlisberger, who knows what he's going to be like? And then Gardner Minshew with the Jags, he got benched last year. So the Titans really have an opportunity to come out of the gate firing.
Alan Bell, our guest from Sportsline. You can check him out at AlanBell247 on Twitter. one of the things I saw you tweet this week was you had a lengthy discussion about how much not having fans in the stands affects point spreads. I thought that was interesting stuff because we all wonder what effect is it going to have not having fans on players and, you know, on momentum and that kind of thing. You even got into it from a point spread perspective.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, historically in the NFL, playing at home has been worth about 2.2 to 3 points, depending, you know, where you're at. You know, all stadiums aren't built equal. But if there are no fans in the stands, point spreads are going to drop. You look at Houston going to Kansas City. You know, they're a double-digit dog. Kansas City is one of the toughest places to play. You look at the Titans. I hate to say it because we all want fans in the stands, but it wouldn't be a bad thing going to Denver with no one out there because they do have, you know, a historically loud crowd coming fired up on a season. They're going to be a lot better. And what's the source? You know, Nick Bogdanovich, who's the director of trading at William Hill in Las Vegas, and talked to him about it. And he said the exact same thing, that, you know, the point spreads would drop at least early. It would kind of even out, you know, about week six, week seven, because you don't have that, you know, kind of initial burst. College, however, if there are no fans in college, spreads are going to go crazy because, you know, home field advantage has a big, big aspect in college.
How much of home field advantage, though, is from a comfort of the team not having to travel and they're in their own stadium, not necessarily just fans or just the crowd? It's also the fact that you're not on the road, you're not dealing with travel, you're not on a plane, all of that.
Yeah, I mean, that definitely goes into it, right? So yeah, if you take away, you know, fans in the stands, really what you have is a plane flight and a hotel stay. Now, right, teams stay in a hotel even when they play a home game. Too big of a difference, but it's really just the travel. So then you would look at it and say, okay, well, you know, how far is the travel? What time is the game? I think that it would affect West Coast teams going to the East Coast way more than it would anyone else. And then again, you look at the Titans schedule, you know, I think from September 15th to October 31st, I think they only leave Nashville maybe once. I can't remember exactly, but I mean, they've got a ton of games at home and the home stretch is more difficult, right? So I think there'll be fans in the stands, but if there aren't, it's just going to change the way, you know, we see at least just in the first 2, first 3, first 4 weeks.
We'll wrap up the 4 o'clock hour next with Alan Bell from Sportsline. Going to ask you this when we come back: what about the state of Tennessee and sports gambling? What is the latest? Alan Bell will have that for us when we return.
Bang Hats with the Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue. Weekdays from 10 to 2. Now back to the 3HL on 104.5 The Zone.
But I'm a creep.
Jump powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Ask you this or mention this on the other side of the break, Alan. People in Tennessee who want to wager on things legally have been waiting for the state of Tennessee to move forward with that. And just curious, as we start this final segment with you, for the people who want to do that, what's the latest and where are we on that?
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, we as a state, we're ready to go. The only thing, you know, now is for, you know, sports books to essentially, you know, fill out the application and get started and be approved by the state regulation board. So expect to see that really when sports start getting close to coming back, because there's really, you know, no point right now because there's not much to bet on. But I mean, it's good news. You know, the state is here. Expect early that it's only going to be, you know, large groups, you know, DraftKings, FanDuel. And the reason for that is this, is that the state of Tennessee is being very conservative in terms of this. So there's going to be a $750,000 annual licensing fee. There's a 20% tax rate on betting revenue and a 10% hold on wagers. So what that means really is that it's going to take companies that have existing sports books, that have money, that can come in and do it. Now, you'll get a lot more as it goes along, but expect early that it's just going to be one, you know, probably two, three, four, the big heavy hitters.
Do you think, because right now I can just, I mean, you can get an app on your phone, right? Or you can, you know, however you want to deal with some of these online entities that you're talking about. At some point, Alan, will you be able to go downtown with your buddies? You go to a Predators game, or you go to the Ryman to a show, and then you go to a honky tonk or two, and then you go to the sports betting house, Alan Bell's House of Bets, or whatever it might be. Is that a thing that's going to happen?
Well, kind of. So let me explain. So Tennessee is online only. So don't expect, you know, a full-blown casino or anything anywhere in the near future. I would say in the next 5, 6, 7 years. However, with online, what you can do is that if you own, say, you know, pub and grill, right?
Yeah.
You could set up kiosks that have mobile stations on them. If you're a Buffalo Wild Wings, you could have kiosks there where people could place them online, you know, at your location. So you can't physically take the bet, but you could offer that as a service, you know, for people who want to do that. So it's an interesting concept. We'll see who, you know, kind of jumps on that, because really everyone's just talking about being able to do it on your phone. But that's another option, you know, for business owners that have, you know, a food, you know, a sports bar type situation. They could get involved in that as well.
Alan Bell, our guest from Sportsline. Let's say there was, you know, a place where you could go right now and make a bet, and somebody said, I want you to bet on the NFL starting on time, and then I'm going to have you place a second bet on fans being in the stands. If you had to place that bet today, what would you place?
No, hold on. Yeah. Does that mean like preseason on time, like everything on time? Or
I'm
just
say,
regular games on time?
I'm going to say regular season, because nobody cares about – I mean, owners care because they make a gate off of it. But
right.
The rest of us are only worried about the regular season. So, Alan Bell, okay. You got to place the money. Start on time, yes or no. Fans in the stands, yes or no. Those are the bets.
100% yes on both. I think the NFL season starts on time, and I think the fans are in the stands. Now, are they going to be – a full house? Don't know. There could be some sort of variance to start this thing. But like we've been talking about, you know, numbers are continuously improving every day. We've got plenty of time between now and the beginning of September. And I would bet yes on both and would not hesitate one second on either.
Wow. There you go. You heard it from Alan Bell of Sportsline. He's taking his money. He's going to bet on yes. On fans in the stands and starting on time. Now, one thing fans won't, or most teams won't be doing this year, is wearing throwbacks. And you tweeted about this last week. I stalked your Twitter, Alan. Somebody had made a picture of, was it?
Jalen Hurts.
In an Eagles uniform, Kelly Green. And you said, why couldn't they do this? And it's probably going to take having two helmet shells, like the Titans could have a white helmet again so they could be the Oilers. Right. It comes back to teams having the ability, like colleges, to wear more than one helmet. You said, what would be a good time to do it? There was a brief time, probably about 20 years ago, right after the Titans became the Titans, so a little less than 20, where on Thanksgiving week, the NFL called it Thanksgiving Classics, and they wore throwback uniforms. And you can go back and Google it. It was a thing. Even on NFL.com, the team logos were throwbacks for that. It was incredible. So they've even Thanksgiving Classics, dude. It was amazing.
We need it. Yeah, yes. We need it. Like, okay. And so, the biggest thing is the one helmet rule. Well, look, you don't have to change the helmet. You can wrap a van. We saw Antonio Brown with his helmet taking the logo off. Like, it wouldn't be that hard to do, right? Second, you know how much revenue the NFL would make from selling, you know, throwback uniforms, throwback jerseys. And then third is that the marketing is already done for you. Throwback Thursday. You're set. Like, I mean, you could literally, like, there's so many ways and options that we could do this. And I even saw today that the NFL is looking at, you know, a COVID type face mask, you know, that they want to put on helmets, mm-hmm. which, you know, who knows if they get that done. But if we could do that, we could protect and make a helmet, you know, very similar that has other logos. There's some reason why the NFL is not doing it, because it would legitimately be another $10 million business for them every year.
Oh, when they were doing the awful color rash games, I used to tweet at Kamish every week with throwback uniforms of the teams that were playing and say, this could be us, but you playing. We could have throwback Thursday, but you're doing color rash instead. So I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, I mean, think about if week one, if we had the Titans and the Oilers throwbacks against the Broncos and those old John Elway, the light blue with the orange. I mean, come on. It would be perfect.
It'd be magical. Right now, I'd settle for them wearing anything and just playing football, though. Alan Bell, great stuff as always, man. Always look forward to you joining us on Tuesday. He's a great Twitter follow, at AlanBell247 or at Sportsline for tons of great info. Thank you, man. You can go back to the bird sanctuary now and finish up your day.
Man, I can't thank y'all enough for having me again. Appreciate you.
See you, brother.